Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Stop and think about it. That's really what the Lord's Supper is about, right? It's the time each week when we are led to Calvary, and we never should forget the agony that Jesus went through and all of his suffering, and we shouldn't forget how much he loves us, and we're reminded of all those lessons when we go back to Calvary. So we're going to turn our attention now to the Lord's Supper, which we'll partake of in just a few moments after we sing this song. What I want to talk about to prepare our thoughts is how our congregation observes the Lord's Supper. It was about 4 years ago that we made a little bit of a change in our congregation where we devote a little bit more time on Sunday mornings to talking about the cross and focusing on Jesus' death on the cross. If you were raised in a church kind of like this, we all had kind of a standard set procedure. At a certain point in the service, we would sing a song that was related to the cross. There would be a few remarks made, usually referring to the story in the upper room, the Last Supper, and when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, or perhaps Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 11. And then that would be followed by prayers and the serving of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But in recent years, I think congregations have rethought that a little bit and just looked at how can we best do that to really make the experience perhaps a little bit more meaningful to us. You know, when you study the accounts of when it was instituted and what Paul said about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're instructed with respect to many aspects, but there's also room for judgment on some of the questions. For example, we don't really know how much the early Christians ate when they ate of the bread. Now, we know what we eat. We take a tiny little pinch usually, maybe a little bit more than that. I kind of have a hunch, and I can't prove this, certainly not, but I wonder if it wasn't a little bit, you know, more thorough of an experience when they did originally. Likewise, with how much they drank. We don't really know those things. We're not really told. My wife Ellen went to a service several years ago, and when the time came for communion, they handed out these little cups. And if you can't see that, I took a picture of it so everybody can see. It's one of these, like when you go to a restaurant, that they put the half and half in for your coffee. That's exactly what it is. But this is it's a self-contained little Lord's Supper cup. On the top it says, "This is my body, which was broken for you." There's a side view. We've had this. It's been in my cabinet. I've been waiting to use this for about 5 years. How long ago was it when you got this? And I wonder if it would still be safe to drink what's inside of there. I know the half and half doesn't last that long, but there's two compartments, and this top compartment has a little wafer, a little piece of bread. Now, a couple things about that. Number one, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. It's not the way we've done it, and it might seem a little strange to us, but when it comes right down to it, what are you doing? You're eating the bread, and you're drinking a little bit of the fruit of the vine. And I suppose in a big congregation, this church she was visiting was probably several thousand members. And in a situation like that, if we were to have that many members, we don't, but if we did, you know, something like that might expedite it. I think we all probably are on the same page that it just seems like it's rushing it a little bit, or we don't want to do anything that's going to take away from the significance. The big change we made was not to tinker with anything like that, but just to think about how we need to spend more time. We shouldn't rush through the Lord's Supper. It's such an important part of our time together every Sunday morning. It shouldn't be thought of ever as something we have to check in and do that so that we can check off that box and we've now, you know, conformed to God's will. It's much deeper. The Bible says we're to remember Jesus. We're to think about what he went through. And the Bible says we are to spend time examining ourselves during the Lord's Supper. So we think about Jesus and all that he went through, who he was and how he died, and we examine ourselves. Those are the kind of things. And so really, you know, basically the change we made was not anything radical. It's just that we want to spend more time every Sunday thinking about Jesus, maybe talking about a song and what the words really mean, but just spending more time talking about the cross. I want to suggest three simple reasons, real quickly, why communion is so important and why we think it's great that we spend more time every Sunday, special time, focusing on the death of Jesus. Number one, you know, it appears to be that when you read the New Testament, that was why they came together. That great passage in Acts chapter 20, when Paul was traveling on his third missionary journey, and he came to Troas. He stayed there 7 days. Verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, it says, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Probably the best way to translate that in verse 7 is they gathered to break bread. It says here they came together to break bread. And there's some variation if you were to pull out all the different translations. But basically the idea is they gathered to break bread. And it really kind of suggests that was the purpose of them coming together. You know, we say we're going to church, or we went to church. And I think it would probably help us appreciate it a little bit more if we thought in terms of we're gathering on Sunday to break bread. The term break bread can and often does refer to a common meal. But it also refers to the Lord's Supper. And I think in this context, and in, for example, 1 Corinthians 16, you see that they came together on the first day of the week. It's the terminology Jesus used. He took bread and he broke it. They broke bread. And I believe in this case, likewise, pretty sure it's referring here to they came together, like some versions say, to partake of the Lord's Supper or to observe communion. But that was the purpose. And, you know, that's my first point, that was why they came together. Not to hear a sermon necessarily, not to give, not to sing. The stated purpose was they came together to break bread. And I think that's a wonderful way to think about our relationship with God, that we come together on Sundays to remember how Jesus died for our sins. I like focusing on it because I think it honors the primary importance of the cross. You know, the cross is the most important thing of all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, I was determined when I was with you not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I think we all know Paul knew many other things, and he taught many other things, but his emphasis there was there's nothing more important than the cross. And we should never think anything we do or anyone among us, you know, is anywhere near important as Jesus is and his death on the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 1, Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you. And he said, I declare to you, first of all, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And when he said first of all there, it wasn't number one out of a list of things, but of first importance is what most people would say that meant. First of all, the most important thing of all is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. This is the most important thing about our faith. You know, it's our hope. It's our example, how we are to live our life. It's everything to us. And finally, I can't say that 100% assurance this is what was in God's mind, but I really feel strongly about this, that it's the perfect way to start the week. You know, think about the Jews under the law of Moses. They would work all week, and then they would take Saturday was the Sabbath day, the seventh day. And I guess they would, you know, usually assemble and remember God in some way at the end of the week. But think about it this way. What a perfect way to start our week. Before we go out and face all the challenges, all the trials, all the temptations, whatever it may be, really the way God has set it up is we begin by meeting with our brothers and sisters in Christ and really focusing on the thing that's most important to us. And there's no scripture that says God did it this way for that reason, but we believe it's the first day of the week that we're to do this. And what a great way to start the week, by remembering the thing that's really most important and taking that opportunity to refocus our minds and recenter the cross in our own life, whatever way we perhaps need to do that. We've said this over and over. You know, the cross, it addresses so many different questions. I don't know what problems you're going to run into this week. Maybe it's I'm going to have trouble in my relationship with my wife and I'm not being the husband I should. But the Lord's Supper teaches me the kind of husband that I ought to be. I'm to love my wife like Christ loved the church. And we're reminded of that in the Lord's Supper. Maybe my problem this week is getting along with one of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, again, it's the cross that teaches us how to do that. Philippians chapter 2, he says, don't look out for your own interests, but look for the interest of others. And then he says, let this mind be in you when you're trying to get along with others that was in Christ Jesus. And it talks about how he was in the form of God, but he humbled himself and he came into this world and he was obedient even to the point of the death on the cross. The cross teaches us how to get along with one another. Maybe my problem is temptation. 1 Peter 4:1 says, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. Because he who suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin, and he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but live for the will of God. Denying temptation means suffering in the flesh. And the way we do that is to think like Jesus. He says, arm yourself with the same mind of Christ. If we're facing temptation, we need to think about Jesus and how it wasn't pleasant going to the cross, but he said, not my will, but your will be done. And the Lord's Supper teaches us that. Maybe our problem this week is guilt. We wonder, does God really forgive me of my sins? Is there really hope for me? Romans 8 says, who condemns us? It's Christ who died. And furthermore, he's risen. He's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. We should never, you know, let those voices of doubt say that we've done so badly, we are condemned, and there's no hope. He says, Jesus died for us. And that gives us hope for forgiveness. Or maybe we just need to be reminded of, you know, what a great thing God did for us. So unimaginable that he would send his son to die on the cross for our sins. You know, that's why we, if you're new to us, that's why we spend a little extra time every Sunday morning talking about the cross. Because it is the centerpiece of the Christian faith. It is the basis for our hope. And it is the best way, I think, to start the week off. And that's so great that we do this on Sunday mornings before we face all of these other challenges that might come our way. We have this opportunity to put our heart right with God, to repent of any sins we maybe have committed, and to remember the example of Jesus and how he died for us. We're going to sing this song now with Dylan, and then we'll be led in prayers and serve the Lord's Supper this morning.